Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Coming up on the Braves Country podcast, up-and-coming country star Jacob Bryant. He grew up in the North Georgia Mountains down a three-mile dirt road, started playing guitar when he was eight, and released his first full-length album called Practice What I Preach. It hit number one on the iTunes country chart. I think you'll relate to the passion Jacob Bryant has for the Braves, and he's up next. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Welcome to another episode of Braves Country. This is a podcast that we do for the Atlanta Braves Radio Network that is about just living in the South, Southern lifestyle. And we also talk about music. We talk about good food. We're talking about just the Atlanta Braves and the fact that we're right here at the stadium. So we get to talk about them, get to have some of the Braves players on here and there occasionally. And my co-host, Scott Munn.
And Tug, I just want to thank you for having me along for this ride. I've had a great time so far. And really just enjoying this Southern revival that you're kind of leading, man. It's really great.
If you watch TV at night, there's all kinds of things to watch. Most of it ain't good. But, you know, I grew up watching the Braves on TBS and watching the Beverly Hillbillies and Sanford and Son and the Andy Griffith Show. And I like all those shows. I don't know that there's anything on TV that I would actually sit down and watch with regularity anymore.
No.
There's nothing that me as a guy that was raised in the South can relate to on TV anymore. So
when the Braves are over, the radio gets turned off, and
right.
I go listen to the Bugs and out back.
Absolutely.
And have a good time with them frogs and drink some beer, and that's about it.
That's where it lies.
That's about it, because the TV's got nothing for you these days.
No, it doesn't. And so that's why we do this podcast, and we appreciate you spending time with us and lending us your ear.
Now let me tell you something really cool that just happened, man.
Yeah.
We were talking about having this new country star from North Georgia on the show, and we called him up and we chased him down. We got him agreeing to come on the show and be on the phone, and then next thing I know, he's working up this way, and he was telling me, he's like, hey, I'm at the Battery, I'm at the Yard House.
Right.
Am I anywhere close to the studio? And I'm
As
like, yeah, you are.
As a matter of fact, you are.
And so I bumped into this fellow at the bar, and I said, why don't you just come on up? And man, it's amazing to have him here.
Yeah,
already.
The good Lord works in mysterious ways. Welcome Jacob Bryant to the Braves Country Podcast. Grew up in rural North Georgia, as did I. And started playing guitar at 8 years old. Played, the family was into bluegrass. Played music at church. I always enjoyed music in church, but I was never a part of it because I can't sing. I can't play anything. Like, I have zero talent. Like, I realized early on that I had no talent. So I was like, well, let's figure out a way to be around music. And
right.
And it was usually I would, watch the lady at the church play the piano because I enjoyed it so much. Or the guy that played the guitar. I was just super into music, but I had no ability of my own. That and a bad case of ADD that I would try to pick up a guitar. And I think I probably went to 2.5 lessons. And then I was done. Jacob, I did not have the music ability that guys like you do.
I don't either. I'm just a guitar holder.
Look, seriously. But you look good doing it, because I don't even get to do that. Like, if I were to have a guitar in my hand, somebody's looking at me like, all right, who are you handing that off to? Because I don't have any of that ability. But it's interesting because, at one of the mini gigs that I participate in is at 101.5, we do a thing called GA Country 60, and we play your music there.
Thank
but
you
I'd heard of it prior to that, and I had been keeping up with you on social media and just all, you know, all the places that I see you play. And as a matter of fact, last weekend, and it depends on when you listen to this, but for me it was last weekend, saw you open up for Tyler Farr.
Yep.
And it was a crazy night, and it was pouring down rain, but you, and was on and off. It was nuts, but it was up in Gainesville at the Olympic, former Olympic Park, mm-hmm. as the Olympics are going on now, which was cool. It was you and Ray Fulcher and Tyler Farr. There's several folks that played, but man, the crowd loved you.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a, other than the rain ruining a bunch of our gear and stuff like that, it was great.
But did it? You guys got stuff ruined?
Yeah, but luckily there's a thing called insurance.
Okay, good.
But yeah, I mean, we had a good time, and you know, of course, Tyler's a great guy. Ray's a good guy, and actually ended up on the bus having a few beverages with Tyler and ended up doing Sling Blade impressions. That was our after show fun.
I love it.
I guess that's what two dads do together now.
Yeah, right.
Instead of back in the day where we would, you know, just absolutely
shotgun and beers and things.
No, we're checking each other's blood pressure and talking about Sling Blade now.
You know, people think there's such a party on the bus, but really it's just a bunch of guys sitting around, maybe playing poker, probably just doing Sling Blade impressions.
That or looking up videos of like old school classic rock videos and stuff, trying to figure out why we're not that cool.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard to be that cool these days. I mean, you know, because everything, no matter what you do, it seems like these days somebody don't like you for it. You know, no matter what it is. Like, if you go to church, there's people don't like you for it. If you play country music, there's people don't like you for it. I think that's the problem. Like, a long time ago, it seems like as society gets more accepting, it really doesn't.
Oh, they just need a big case of haterade.
That's right, man. I'm telling you what. But so, who did the better impression on the bus? Was it you or Tyler?
I think Tyler won that one.
Okay, all right.
He already kind of talks like
that. Yeah, he does. You know, right?
But no, he. I think he won it for sure.
Okay,
for sure.
All right. Because when I was up on the bus, God, I think I told you this. We were up on the bus and talking and hanging out, and I hadn't seen him it's probably been 18 months or a couple of years maybe. But you know, just catching up. I hadn't seen each other in a while, and by the time we're in talking, his wife calls him on the FaceTimes with the, and he goes from like this cool country artist to daddy in the blink of an eye. And he's like, "Hey, baby, how are you?" And he's talking to his little 6-month-old baby. You know, it all of a sudden, all that, you know, all that whatever that mystique is, that persona just goes away because he's just a regular dude like everybody else.
Yeah,
it was cool.
And you have a kid and you have a family
too.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
two.
Wow.
Yeah,
tell
we get Naomi, my daughter, she'll be 2 in September, and then we just had a little boy, Weston. He'll be, I guess, 3 months here coming up pretty quick.
Goodness gracious, man. They grow up fast. Mine's 17.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, no kidding, man. This weekend, we're going on a baseball recruiting trip, you know, because he's a pretty competitive baseball player. But I still have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that he's going to be a junior. I remember being a junior in high school.
I was about to say, I still feel like I'm in high school.
Yeah, I know, right? Most of the time.
I'm just a grown kid.
Yeah, well, I think that's just a male condition. I think it's just being a dude is that kind of condition.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Going back to Sling Blade and impressions and, you know, sitting on the bus.
Do the kids, do they know that you play country music? They come to the show sometime, check it out? Or they understand what's going on yet?
I don't know about understand. I mean, my daughter, she's definitely into watching. She calls me Daggy.
I love it.
That we got a photographer that came to the Tyler Farr show or whatever, and he captured a picture of Naomi standing side stage just kind of in awe, like, why is my daggy doing that?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Whatever. But
that's cool.
It's one of those I'm definitely going to frame and put in my man cave somewhere.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But I don't think she really fathoms anything other than that's her dad up there playing a guitar, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to grow up. It's funny because my son growing up around a radio station, and now he tells me, he's like, I want to work at radio. I'm like, no, you don't. First of all, no, you don't. Go get yourself a good job, a good pay. Go be a doctor, a lawyer, a real estate agent, something. You know, be able to pay the bills. And
that sounds like a Willie Nelson song, let them be doctors and lawyers.
It is,
and such.
Absolutely. Mommy, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. But, you know, talking to Jacob Bryant here on Braves Country, you grew up in Jasper. So I grew up in Dalton. So we would, you know, we didn't grow up terribly far apart. The only difference is Dalton's got all the factories, you know, so everybody kind of comes into Dalton from all over to work.
And carpet mills.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Companies.
Yeah, did you ever do any of that stuff?
I never worked in them or went up there for flooring or anything. I guess the first few times I came to Dalton was when I was in the Christian rock scene. I played in a band for a very short period of time. Played in a band called the Ever Present Surrender, and they were like a kind of hard Christian rock band or whatever.
All right.
I went up there to kind of audition, and at the time, of course, I sucked. And
That seems problematic.
And one of my buddies that was playing drums for another band that I was in or whatever ended up auditioning for him and got the gig and stayed with him for a little while. But that was my at least coolest memories of Dalton. Like the first time going there, I felt like I was in a third world country or something because I grew up in the middle of nowhere and on a dirt road in Jasper. I was kind of sheltered for a good minute. But I finally kind of started broadening my horizons with Dalton being one of those horizons.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, going to the big city of Dalton.
Thriving metropolis, absolutely. You get Los Reyes Mexican restaurant, it's great. Yeah. You know, it's funny because the strangest thing, Scott, and you probably can relate to this with, you know, how transient this area can be. It's funny, my wife is from upstate New York. We met while I was in the Navy. We'll tell the story later, but she was on vacation and I was stationed there in Virginia Beach. Anyway, 20 years later, you know, we're married with a 17-year-old kid.
Those Navy guys get all the girls.
I'm telling you, it's the uniform, believe me. But it's interesting that her first trip that she ever made to Georgia when we were dating, we drove over to Jasper because her uncle, that she had never met and a day in her life, lived in Jasper. He had moved down and years ago.
Y'all might be kinfolk.
It could be. That's what I'm saying.
There is something about Jasper. I don't know why, but I've met so many people that randomly were like, oh, by the way, I'm... You know, coming to Jasper, stay in a cabin. I'm like, what? Yeah. Why?
Because it's nice over there, man. Like,
well, all we got is Rocco's and a jail.
That's all you need, really, because, I mean, after a night at Rocco's, you got to have a place to sleep.
Now, wait a minute. What is Rocco's?
Rocco's is one of the first places I kind of gigged around in when I swapped over into country music. But I say swapped over. I was always into country music. But when I started, I guess, trying to do it for a living, it was a little bar gig close to home that I could make a decent little paycheck at. But... Now, Rocco's, it's just a cool place, got a good atmosphere, a huge deck or whatever, and it's live music pretty much every day. They have
so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome playing there, you know, coming up or whatever. But, yeah, if you leave Rocco's, make sure you call an Uber all the way from Atlanta because it's way cheaper than a DUI, for sure.
You know, another place that I know is kind of a hometown gig for you is Blue Ridge, Georgia. Yep, you play up there a lot, right?
I did. Not much anymore.
Well, you know how I know that.
Did they run you off or something?
No. I'm actually playing my final gig ever in Blue Ridge this weekend.
What do you mean?
You're going to retire from Blue Ridge?
Well, no, it's not that. What happened is the place that I kind of cut my teeth in, they're only doing like acoustic stuff now. They're not doing live music because there's apartments above it and sound and blah, blah, blah.
People get upset.
And we like it loud, proud, and in your face a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's just, and it's also one of them things, too. I mean, it only holds about 300 people, and it means you're doing something right if you're kind of outgrowing a venue.
Yeah. You know, Jacob, it's time to bring in the mobile stage and rock the street.
Hey, there you go.
That's what we do around here, you know what I mean?
Right. Hey.
But I'll tell you how I know.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Watch this.
I tell you how I know that is I called Travis Ellis up from the Shepherd's Men, one of our friends who was on the show recently, and we were going to do a benefit concert up there with Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying, and we were looking at dates, and there was this date we wanted, and then he said, oh, no, we can't do it that night. Jacob Bryan is playing downtown, and he is... There will be nobody that will come to our show because Jacob Bryant's going to suck all the people out of there. So
we do well in Blue Ridge. Scott is my witness here. My security and TM guy that helps us out a lot. He, I guess probably the last, 12 or 15 shows we played up there, we sell out every time. So
that's cool, man.
But it's also a little bit sketchy, too, because like, there's been nights where there's some dude grabbed my manager by the throat because he won't leave, and my manager's trying to get him to leave when the door's closed.
Oh, good Lord.
And then one night, there was a drunk guy poured beer all over our monitor console, and my 75-year-old grandpa had to get neck on him a little bit.
Look at here.
So, yeah, it's just one of them awesome things, like when you look back at it, but at the time, there's been some sketchy moments.
It seems like it would be a good opportunity for writing great country songs.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely in a couple. I don't know that I've technically mentioned the name of the venue in a song, but I've written about some areas.
Just the events surrounding.
Yeah.
The show. Which is super cool, man.
Well, dropping their name cost extra anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. That's right. You don't do that.
Hey, and there's three of us.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we got to split it three ways, man. That's not going to make anybody rich. But it's fun. Country that's the thing I think I love about country music so much. And I've told this to many people that have been on before. Like, my kid was super into hip hop. Like, that's all he really listened to. And one day he heard me listening to Keith Whitley, and he was like, I kind of like that. I was like, all right, well, let's explore this a little bit. And then we moved on. We brought in some Jamie Johnson and some George Strait and some George Jones and just whatever. And then he also loves, like, the 80s rock that we're talking, the classic rock, you know, whether it's Bob Seger or Van Halen or even going back even further to Zeppelin and that sort of stuff. But he's really developed a love for country music out of the storytelling in country music. And that's that. And I guess that's why I bring that up is that that's the beauty of country, right? It's Absolutely. It's what yeah. you've lived in written down.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you referenced Keith. I mean, Keith Whitley is my favorite singer of all time.
Amen. Mine too.
Him or George Jones, and then I guess if you pick somebody a little more new age, Travis Tritt would be my close third. But a lot of the stage presence stuff that I took was more from Travis. But as far as the storytelling and the you know, just vocal ability I guess I studied and just worshipped was Keith Whitley.
Oh my gosh, he's the greatest. He is my favorite country. Like, because I'm a huge Waylon fan. I got a Waylon t-shirt and hat and all that, so I love Waylon Jennings. But I got to tell you, if I'm I listen to Waylon a lot, but if I had to put who I listen to, if you were to break out my Apple, you know, my Apple iTunes account and look at the songs that are streamed, it's Keith Whitley's greatest hits pretty much on a loop for the last, you know, 15 years or so. But it's cool for my son to be able to be into that, at least with me. And but that's where it is, Scott. It's all about the storytelling, and that's what he is really gravitated for. And he's got this group of buddies, then they all play ball together, whatever. They're rising juniors at Alpharetta High School, but even kids that have never even heard a country song are listening to country with him and through him. They all love Morgan Wallen, you know, and have listened to him a ton. And I think that's the beauty of country music, is able to connect, and it cuts through where other genres of music may not.
For sure. Yeah, I love Morgan, too. I love Hardy. Some of those guys, they're innovative. You know, they're doing things that are still country and still keep it at its root without technically, I guess, stealing from traditional, because I guess I lean more in the traditional / southern rock kind of I call it country done my way. It's just a rock band with a country singer. I mean, they kind of made their own thing, you know.
And it's
pretty cool to watch some of the younger crowd really gravitate,
because when you listen to Morgan Wallen, I mean, he grew up very similar to you
he's neck too.
Yes, sure he is. Good Lord. And but he sings about things that you and I can relate to, but it's cool at the same time, and kids can dig it as well. It's just what I love.
And Jacob, you know, we've really fallen in love with your music, man. I got to tell you, you got some great stuff. I love how you're doing the straight ahead thing with the lyrics sometimes, but you really are combining that southern rock, maybe a little bit of that 80s rock influence is in there. I hear a little metal influence, and then there's the straight up country. I mean, I can hear a little Hank Williams in there. And I'm loving this stuff, and I see that you're getting some attention in the UK as well. I love the song Good Old Boy, and then I see there's now a UK rock remix or something like that.
What does that even mean, a UK rock remix?
Well, what it's kind of hard to explain without telling you kind of the whole story. Universal UK approached us with a spinoff label they have over there called Spine Farm / Snake Farm Records, but it's an umbrella of Universal.
Okay.
And they were like, man, this Pour Whiskey on My Grave single is amazing, and it went number one over here on iTunes and whatever. We want to re-release it on a major scale over there to national radio and whatever. Well, they did the single, and it went number one or on terrestrial radio over there. And then they decided they wanted to release the whole entire record then.
Great.
And Good Old Boy was the second thing. But over there, to answer your question about the rock remix thing, is, you know, over here, I guess I would consider myself in the country southern rock vein. But over there,
they call you classic rock over there?
No, just rock. For some reason, even like Pour Whiskey, they considered rock music over there.
Have you been over there to tour yet?
Not yet. We are. We're
Man,
going.
You're gonna
oh,
love
cool.
it.
That's cool.
The fans over on. There. I mean, we have the best fans ever in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. But over there, they're so respectful. You can hear a pin drop through your whole song, and they'll wait till that last note is finished resonating, and then they burst into applause. It's amazing. And they don't sing along because they want to just hear it. So it's a different way of appreciating the music.
They love music. They don't watch with their eyes. They listen with their ears.
That's correct. That's awesome. Correct. But, you know, we still got it covered down here in the South. They're doing a cheap impression of the crowds down here, of course.
That's right. No doubt about it. But that's cool, man, because you have that experience with
several artists.
You've been over there a few times.
Mainly with Blackberry Smoke. We went over there, and it was amazing to see those crowds and how they react across the continent of Europe, but especially in the UK. They really respect the artistry.
It's hard not to respect Charlie, man.
Yeah, he's the guy, man.
Well, all of them.
Probably
all of them.
Yeah, Charlie's probably the best I'd say with him and Warren Haynes might be neck and neck right now on guitar
playing. Well, I got to tell you, man, the only thing about Charlie that gives me pause is that he's an Auburn fan. So, I mean, like, of all the things.
Charlie, really?
Yeah, dude, it'll break your heart. When he told me, I almost fell on the floor.
I'm going to have to go listen to the Steelwoods now.
as I wear my Georgia hat and polo, you know.
And still rocks.
No, absolutely. It's
what
amazing.
About you, Jacob Bryan? Where you fall in the college football world?
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
So what about you, Jacob Bryan? Where you fall in the college football world?
UGA, what do you think?
Okay, go Dogs. That's
come
right.
On,
you're in the right. You're in the
come
right
on,
place.
I'm not necessarily the biggest football fan because I never played it. I was a pitcher and played baseball my whole life. So I wasn't, I guess, a follower of any kind of football sport until I got of drinking age. And
then all of a sudden.
Well, it's like, what do? You just go somewhere on Saturday and hang out with a bunch of chicks and play cornhole and drink beer.
So and watch college football.
Yeah.
So roll that in.
That was just one of those where I guess, kind of sort of started keeping up with it a little bit.
Plus, concerts are great on Friday night before a ball game. You know, you can play Athens on a Friday night, you're going to slam it. So that's always fun. Now, what about baseball? Are you raising your kids on Braves baseball? I know you came up on it, right?
Well, it's kind of funny. My son, the first day he was alive, I made him watch a Braves game in the hospital.
that's awesome.
That's actually the truth.
That's good news right there.
I was like, hey, can y'all turn the Braves on? Do y'all have ballet sports?
You know, right. Yeah.
Because, you know, when they swapped.
Yeah, from Fox Sports when Bally bought the regional networks out.
Yeah, so luckily they did at Northside Cherokee. So thank you, Northside Cherokee,
for not making me
miss a Braves game.
That's right. Way to be savior.
But no, I'm one of those guys, like I was telling Scott even before this, like I don't keep up with just minuscule stats and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's okay.
But every single day I'm either watching it on my phone, like the box on the MLB app, or finding some pirated website to watch
absolutely.
Do you ever listen on the radio anymore? Come on now.
Well, I do if I'm driving, but that's another thing I hate to admit, but I hate driving. I've got so used to being on a bus. Like that sounds bougie as crap, I know, but
well, that's where your road manager comes in.
I told my wife, I said, man, if I could just, you know, make enough money in life to just hire a Belvedere, I've made it. Like, Belvedere, I want to go to the varsity.
Please take me down.
Belvedere.
Rapidly.
I need a six poke of Miller, and I need to go to the varsity.
That's exactly right. No, it's great. It's funny, man, and I don't mean to take it back to my kid again, but at the same time, he's the same way. Like, he didn't really like to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's big into playing baseball, as we said. And so he's having to, you know, drive a lot of different places all summer. And when he's got to go too far, he's like, do you think I can catch a ride? Do you think you could take me and then go to work? I'm like, dude, you got a Jeep. Where'd you go? Yep. You know, I'm like, I'm tired of driving you around.
So, Tug, you're a Belvedere, baby.
Yes, I am. Well, as a parent, you're always, that's your title. Like, it's in parentheses under your title on your business card.
Yeah, I don't know when it happened for me, because I remember early in life, I loved driving. Like, I drove my dad all the way to Panama City one time while he slept in the passenger seat. You know, like, let's go. I listened to a Brantley Gilbert record the whole way there, like the first Brantley record, and Dad said he woke up, we were running down the road, and he said he kind of opened his eyes for a little bit, and all he could see was the yellow line going off the interstate. And what it was is when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I hit the guardrail.
There you go.
Wow. Not literally hit it, but I had to jump over the guardrail because there was nowhere to
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I know what you mean.
But I about gave my dad a heart attack while I was going on. But
sure, as long as you stay out of the ditch, everything's cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there was rumble strips back then.
You might not have been. Know. What year was that?
Let's see, I was probably 15. I know I only had my learners, and I was definitely driving overnight, so that was illegal. But
yeah, right.
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody breaks the law.
I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, I'm 31. Yeah, okay. 16 years ago.
Yeah, man, that's fun times. The Redneck Riviera, man. Who did from this area, or from the southeastern United States, like, who doesn't go to Panama City Beach, PCB,
Destin,
or 38, whatever? I mean, that's like... That's where everybody goes. I mean, when you're on, it's crazy, and you may know this too, Scott. Like, when you're on vacation, like half of, because I live in Alpharetta, half of Alpharetta is there while you're there. You know, it's like you took up your whole town, and everybody had just showed up at this one spot, and there happens to be beach and booze and, you know, whatever. But that's where everybody goes.
Yep. And sometimes you'll find that aunt you don't like, or, you know, like all that stuff.
That's right.
But yeah, if any of my aunts are listening to this,
he likes all. Yeah,
he didn't mean it.
It was just an example. It was just, it's not real.
But for me, it's Tybee Island though, because I like to stay Georgia side of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like the Atlantic.
I love Tybee Island, but I will go down to Florida if they pay me for a gig.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I've never been to Tybee.
You gotta go, man.
Man, we got to get. There's a great little Tybee theater down there. You would love to play down
there. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
man,
we can set it up.
Look, this is like business happening. I need to step back.
Yeah,
seriously, because I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know about the theater, and I wouldn't know how to book you even if I did.
I don't know how to book me either. I would just make him call Jeff, my manager.
Right. I love it.
All right, Jeff, let's have a call after the show.
Yes, that's what we'll get there. Yeah. 5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-
they have bands play, and everybody, all the people are dressed up like pirates, and they're just going nuts.
So, no, I mean, it sounds fantastic.
It's amazing. You'll
like,
love it.
Like a Louisiana, what's the Jazz Fest down there?
Yeah, Jazz. Oh, yeah. I think that's it, Jazz Fest, yeah.
I want to do that one, too. I've never done
You
that.
Will. I think you're going to do them all, man, from what it sounds like.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So have you ever played down in PC Beach, that area, since you traveled down there a little
bit? Yeah, we drove through a hurricane to play at La Vila, of all places.
Club La Vila. Is that place still open?
I don't think so anymore, okay. but when this happened, I can't remember which hurricane it was, but we were playing in Tifton, Georgia. At a buddy of mine's bar, and we get a call that Gulf Coast Jam was completely stopping. Eric Church was the headliner that year, and like all these people were already set up in these hotels, and they weren't leaving. You know, I mean, like we were just talking about, all these people, they don't care. They're going to party regardless if the concert goes on or not. You know,
yeah.
So we ended up taking the gig, you know. They called us and was like, how quick can you be here? You know,
as soon as I can get there, I'll be there.
We need y'all to load in at blah, blah, blah. Well, the hurricane had already moved through there, and it was like hitting Tifton at the time. So we get down the road, you know, and there's tree limbs flying across the highway. And at the time, we didn't have the bus and all that. We were in a 15-passenger van with a trailer, you know.
I love it.
Power lines and stuff. And yeah, anyway, so we drove through the hurricane like crazy people and played Club La Vila. We even got the bartender fired that night because she got a little tatered with us and had a couple too many shots of Rumplemints, and they ended up firing her. And she partied with us.
Well, at least she had a good time. I mean, at least you're going down in flames. If you're going down, might as well go down in flames, right?
That was in my crazy days, man. I don't go that hard anymore.
Yeah, me either. I don't have the ability.
It's hard for me to make it all the way through a Braves game without dozing off. Yeah, my wife's over there like popping me going,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, they just
Dansby
scored.
Just hit a grand slam.
How'd you miss it? Lord, be like, sweetheart, we're DVRing and I'll see it on social media 10,000 times. I got it. No, it's good though. But didn't you recently you and Kevin were down in the Panhandle somewhere, weren't you?
You know, we're always somewhere around the South whenever I roll around with Kevin, and I think we did go down there. But he does quite well all along the coast, and we get down there quite a bit. We love it. And but I tell you what, that driving through a thunderstorm reminds me that I did want to ask you something serious, not to bring it down too much, but I got a serious question here. Yeah. I'm loving your song, Baptized by the River, man. Mm-hmm. And I love when you say that you're baptized by the river in the middle of a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. Ain't that the best time to turn towards that kind of thing, really?
Absolutely.
When a thunderstorm rolls in?
Yeah, when you're down and out, the one dude you turn to is the good Lord. I mean, I don't know how anybody believes or whatever, but I believe in, you know, Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
There you go.
You're in the right place.
You're in welcome to company.
But I'll never claim to be perfect. You know, I'm not
I'm not a
go to church every Sunday, every time lights are on kind of guy. I mean, the Bible says we're two or more gathered in his name. That's church. So we're in church right now.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Being a praise and worship leader back in the day, of course, I saw some stuff behind the scenes and, you know, working in a church setting that I didn't necessarily care for. And so from that moment forward, I've always just tried to make it, you know, the Bible to me is an instruction manual to your life to be a better person and try to walk more Christ-like, not to try to be Christ or you know, impress somebody in, you know, in your local church or whatever. So I don't know. I just try to do good for people, be nice to people, and be more Christ-like the best way I know how. You know?
Yeah, man, if you hit the nail on the head, I don't think I could have summarized it better myself. It's all about just being good to one another and being Christ-like, man. I think that's you hit the nail on the head because none of us are going to be perfect. And you know what? And this is the fault in me, I guess. I don't even really want to be perfect. To be honest, I don't want to be perfect.
One perfect man.
Yeah, right. And I try to tell my wife and son and family, I'm like, we're not going to be perfect. Let's just be good to one another. But it does come back to how much faith plays into oftentimes country music. Because look, think about Hank Williams with I Saw the Light and Keith Whitley and the hymns he did. Mm-hmm. Alan Jackson, Alabama. And Randy Travis, I can think of all of their song, all the recorded stuff that they've done over the years that are hymns, you know, that are just hymn-based albums. And some of that's my favorite stuff. I mean, that I'll listen to when I go and listen to Alan Jackson. I don't always go to Chattahoochee. I don't always go to Dallas or Tonight I Climb the Wall. Yep. Sometimes I go to Softly and Tenderly.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to get into music business or radio, you got to have some kind of faith because it's a 1 in a million chance we're going to do anything with it. I mean,
you're right.
And that's the truth. I mean, everybody's always called it a 10-year business. I mean, I'm on year 12 or 13 now, you know, and things are just now starting to pop off. You just got to have enough faith and enough work ethic, work through it and yee with it, and eventually your time comes, you know.
Yeah.
So. And you started as a youth minister, is that right, or a youth group leader? Or?
Well, no, I started off, I played in a bluegrass band with my grandparents. I say a bluegrass band, we just got together and had bluegrass pickings on the front porch.
Fair enough.
But,
close enough.
But they went and played a couple of gigs or whatever, but when I was about 8, I guess, is when I started. And of course, old school Keith Whitley, Ricky Skaggs, Third Time Out, Blue Ridge Grass.
Good stuff.
All that stuff. But anyway, I grew up in that and then was kind of the shy kid really throughout school. I failed chorus in high school because I was too shy to sing in front of anybody. And then now I sing for a living. It's kind of weird. But,
I love it.
But yeah, I did do, my mom kind of pushed me into the whole, which we didn't really go to church a lot growing up, but she found this non-denominational church that kind of believes the way I believe now. It's a little more like a instruction manual for your life kind of thing. And she was like, just try it once. Go with me once. Mm-hmm. And go to the youth group or whatever. And I had grown up like foot washing Southern Baptist.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'd never seen a drum set inside of a church or guitars or big lights or any of that, you know, so it was like culture shock for me. But anyway, had a blast, loved it. First time I honestly feel like I felt God, you know, was in a church like that. And somehow ended up falling into the lead worship guy's role on accident, kind of, and stayed there for a couple years and did that. And there was a church in Calhoun and a church in Ball Ground, and I kind of did a little bit of both back and forth. But anyway, just did that for a little bit, and that's kind of where I cut my teeth, I guess, as far as my first time standing on stage singing to people or whatever. But, after a little bit of that and kind of, like I said before, seeing a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff in church, I kind of had my feel with it and was like, I'm going to go back and play some bluegrass and country music.
There you go, man.
And add a little Travis in there, put a little drive in it. You know.
Dude, put a little drive in your country. It's so good. We were watching happened to be on TV the other night. We were watching the Joe Pesci movie when he's the lawyer and he comes to Georgia, it's Alabama, and he's defending his cousin, my cousin Vinny.
Yeah. The two Utes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Travis Tritt has Bible Belt in that. It's on the soundtrack and in the movie, and I'd forgotten because I hadn't heard it in so long. And it's like I snapped right back in because I knew every word, and it was like I listened to it, you know, a million times before. It was
Travis
so
is
good.
Amazing.
Gosh, he's so good, isn't he? He just... I wish he got the credit that he deserved, because I don't think he does.
No, for sure. Definitely not, because there's not many people that the second you hear their voice, you know exactly who it is.
Yeah.
And that's Travis, man.
No doubt about it.
Now, I guess I'm the downer question guy on this particular
please,
episode, but
mind.
I do want to address something, if you don't mind talking about it. Jacob Bryan, I know that in 2010 you kind of had a rough year, and a lot of people can relate to that who've had some rough years. In the last couple years here. I read that you had to kind of battle back and you fought your way back from some depression. Tell us about what all happened that year, what you went through, and how your faith helped you get through it, and your music helped you get through it as well, I guess, right?
Yeah, 2010 to still this day is the worst year of my life. Lost my mom. I was 19. She went to sleep, just didn't wake up. You know, it was a weird situation. But, yeah, I was headed to Nashville, got a call from my uncle, and he said, hey, man, you need to turn around. Your mom's blue. And I said, what? You know, he was like, don't ask no questions, turn around. I was right above Chattanooga, so I spun it around, put it to the floor, put my flashers on, and went. A couple state patrols, Tennessee State Patrol guys got behind me trying to pull me over. It didn't stop, and thank God they didn't try to pit maneuver me or whatever. When I put my flashers on, they pulled off. I guess they understood it was an emergency or whatever, but... made it all the way back, and the inevitable, you know, mom had passed and whatever. But, yeah, to talk about, I guess, going through the darkness of that, I before that I'd never really had any addiction issues or depression issues or anxiety or panic attacks or any of that crap. And then, of course, all of that stuff started happening directly after that. I ended up having a heart attack at 19 from
what?
Too many Red Bulls. It was chemically induced, but it was because I'd been an idiot because I was trying to, you know, not care, I guess, at that time, in that age, it's just kind of what you do. You drowned it with something, you know. I was actually working at a place called USA Concrete right down the road here, and got rushed to the hospital, and the doctor's like, man, you're lucky to be alive. As a kid came in here yesterday and didn't make it through this exact same thing because of energy drink. So anytime I get a chance to tell somebody to leave Red Bull alone, sorry, Red Bull, but
You got to put them all down.
Yeah, man.
I mean, the least that's going to happen to you is a kidney stone, and the worst that's going to happen to you is a heart attack.
Yeah, but so that, and then, you know, of course, after that, went through the alcoholism and some drug use and things that don't necessarily go into a whole lot. But, I did a little bit of everything for a little while, and thank God I came out on the other side of it. And I'll definitely credit that to my current wife. I actually went through a divorce of my first wife at that time or whatever, and my current wife now, Brittany, she's the staple that saved my life. I'll tell everybody that to this day. She actually physically resuscitated me once. So,
wow.
Yeah, she's my angel, man.
Yeah, I think that in life that the good Lord knows what he's doing, and sometimes he teaches you lessons. You know, talking about church. At our church, the pastor just retired a couple of years ago. He says something, and I've brought this up a few times, but he says something that resonates with me, and he said God allows things he hates to accomplish what he loves. And I thought that was the most, like, it blew my hair back. I was just like, holy smokes, you know, because you think about all the crazy things that happen in life, how could this happen, whether it's something like you're talking about or just somebody just randomly gets in a car wreck, and it's just it's just, and or somebody has cancer, or I mean, there's a thousand different scenarios that you could work out, but that statement always makes it okay for me. You know, I know things are bad, and I'm not trying to diminish what people are going through, but at the same time, I know there's a bright outcome on the
greater
other side.
Plan.
Yeah, the greater plan. That's exactly right. So, dude, congratulations on just being able to shake that, because some people can't.
Yeah, I mean, I went through the addiction thing for a good minute. I actually quit drinking for a little while just to make sure I had it in check, you know, and then now I have my beers or whatever, but I don't do liquor anymore or any kind of hard stuff like I used to.
Yeah, no.
And how did your music help you out through all that?
Man,
the
writing process, man. I mean, writing was my therapist. I mean, growing up the way I grew up, I mean, going to a therapist or something like that, which is something that, you know, I wish I would have done now, you know, wasn't even an option up where I'm from. I mean, I'm sure there are therapists somewhere close, but I don't know, like the way we grew up, you know, Papa, my dad, whoever, would be like, man, nut up, shut up. You know, get it together. You're all right. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Put the dirt on it.
Yeah, so there was no, you know, being not okay. You just had to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what I did, is I just self-medicated. You know?
Yeah.
But But yeah, I made it through it, and like I said, now I can have some adult beverages and,
yeah,
and
be cool,
cook a burger and watch the Braves, and I'm good to go.
There you go, man. Dude, life sounds good.
You know, a lot of musicians, that whole thing happens to them in their 40s. Mm-hmm. So you put the hard part first. So now it's just all uphill from here. I mean, downhill, or easy from here, right?
Well, I don't know about that. We're still climbing the ladder.
Right.
I mean, like I said, it's joining the I guess the dream of music or the dream of radio or really or acting or any kind of thing in the entertainment world is such a huge feat to accomplish in general. So I don't think that the climb will ever stop, but I definitely think that it's on the right path to being a little easier.
Well, how is touring going for you, and what's coming up? You got any new tours or recordings on the horizon?
Yeah, we cut a whole record. We cut 30 tracks. We're releasing 12 of those tracks. We actually signed a deal with a company called 30 Tigers, which is where Luke Combs started out.
Yeah, I know 30 Tigers.
But yeah, David Macias over there, great people.
And he's a good guy, yeah.
Zach and Matt and all the guys that are helping, thank you guys. But man, we're excited. We're finally, you know, working with a label and things like that in the U.S. as well, not only the U.K. now. So it's definitely a different ball game when you got, you know, coal in the train and the thing's got a little steam, you know. Yeah. So it's going to be cool. It's going
to
be fun.
How often do you get to Nashville?
It depends, man. I mean, like the last couple months, I've been about every other week. But,
okay.
But when I'm not working, I mean, once every couple months or something like that. But I try to go sometimes just for fun, but most of the time it's for work. So it's about every other week.
Yeah, but work is fun, though, right?
Well,
When you do this for a living, I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesse Triplett's my producer who plays in Collective Soul, and I know you guys know Ed.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
But yeah, I mean, Ed was nice enough to come out when I did the Live at the Print Shop thing with Adam Blank and check us out live and stuff. So that was really cool. See a childhood hero kind of show up, but and then Adam hooked it up where we got to play golf with Chipper and his dad Hawk and stuff. So that was really cool too. So
yeah, that's big time.
It's awesome, man. Getting to meet some of these people I grew up, you know,
idolizing,
looking at as icons, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, now I'm, you know, kind of hanging with them a little bit.
So yeah, right. Nice.
It's one of those where I want somebody to punch me and wake me up a little bit.
Yeah, you know? No, like, it's terrific.
I'm pretty sure I'm dreaming, but
you know, you'll need to remember that feeling 5-10 years from now when kids are lining up for your autograph. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's
it's gonna be like that for you, man.
It will be. There's no doubt about it. But and just because of who you are, and in this very short amount of time that we've been talking, you know, you've really illustrated that and who you are. And I don't think that'll be an issue, man. Just being a regular dude, you know, it's so common. I think it's common in country music more than any place else. But definitely common with folks that grew up like you and I did.
Yeah, man. I mean. My grandma used to say, we all sit on the same pot.
That's, you know, exactly right.
And that's the way I look at it, man. I ain't never going to be no different.
What was her favorite, what was your favorite meal that she cooked?
Oh, God. Probably pan-fried chicken livers.
Yes, sir. I used to get them at the Favorite Market.
Yeah. We used to get them at Dunn's Peanut, 108 and 515 right there above Sackett's in Jasper. But, yeah, pan-fried chicken livers, between that one. Or, believe it or not, I know this is going to sound stupid, but I've never been one to eat breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always get me those Carnation instant breakfast shakes.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, for some reason, it just reminds me of my mama when I think about Carnation instant breakfast.
That's so funny. I have some of those in my cabinet right now.
Really?
Yeah, because I used to get them, too.
They're so good. They're so good.
Tell me, that's how you can tell you grew up, Scott. Like, when you grew up very similarly, like, all the things kind of, there's just a common thread there
that
you see all the time. Favorite places to eat, like Barbecue Beatin' Three, like in Jasper or in Nashville or anywhere you've toured?
We have to talk to everybody about their favorite barbecue spots or meeting through mom and pops, stuff like that.
Scott has messed me up on the whole barbecue
thing. Scott, what have you done?
He took me to the OG Fox Brothers. Now I'm ruined.
Fox Brothers
is my go-to now. But I guess if you're going to eat up around Jasper, I'd have to pick good old barbecue.
Barbecue is so good.
The Haga Chonga. That's the one.
That's what you got to get.
Barbecue burrito.
Yeah.
That one, or they got one called a Texas Dirty Bird, and it's got like a sunny side egg with fried jalapenos on it.
Good Lord.
Sliced brisket. It's phenomenal. I add tomato to it and then put the, the spicy sauce on it.
There you go. Man, my man knows how to live.
Yeah.
I love it.
There you go. You got to have it.
I love it. If you ever are down this way, man, you're always welcome back, man. And,
yeah,
and one day you bring a guitar with you and pick and grin, and you know, we could walk through songs or talk through songs, or you can play some or your favorite Keith Whitley stuff or whatever, man. But you're always welcome.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, thank y'all for having me, bro.
Yeah, man, you're part of the team now. welcome to Braves country, buddy.
I love it. Hey, I've always been a part. I'm just a part now, right?
Yeah, right, there you go.
You're on it.
Jacob Bryant, wrapping it up here on the Braves Country podcast on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.